Digital stance, getting firewalled ho, cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll school you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISOs? Let me through my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. The fight between Un and Jay-Z. You see, G, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones? And NASDAQ leaves you flat on your back? Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. This is dedicated. dedicated to the hackers and the criminals. Serial codes, source codes, ISOs, RAMs, zip sits. Dedicated to the hackers and the crack.
Yo, 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 what up, peeps? This is the Stank D.I. double G.Y. in the house. And I'm joined by my home slice, the one and only.
Land Inquisitor, my main Haitian on the Rant Radio Station.
Yup, yup, believe that. Now, we about to open this mother fizzucker and go straight into some E-Mizzle. You feel me?
I feel you, dog.
We're going to open up the E-Mizzle right now?
Yeah.
You know, before I go into that, I need to drop some knowledge on these people. Obviously, they listening to the stream, they already know that we done gone changed to Rant Radio Talk. You already know that if you're listening, but you might want to pass the word out. They done broke up the channels. We got three different channels now, breaking the music down, breaking the talk down, keeping everything all nice and organized and shizzle like that. So, we done updated the site, benrev.com, check it out. I ain't hit the graphics yet, but if you click on it, it will take you to the correct stream. So, you can also, of course, check out the Diggy Dog House. Check out the forums at benrev.com and find the latest information in case anything else changes again. Now, E-Missile number one, numero uno, comes from Cloaked Dagger, who I mentioned last week on the show. Actually, I mentioned that someone in the IRC channel was playing a GMS game or something like that. I brought it up that someone wanted to record the show and put it onto CD, but we had adult material, whatever that's all about. And I couldn't remember who it was. I think I kind of mentioned that maybe it was Cloak Dagger. And he emailed me to say, nope, not me. So whoever it was that told me about that, it was kind of a neat idea. So email me, letters at benrev.com. Let me know so I can give out proper credit and maybe some more information or details about it so I can set the record straight. I think I was kind of thinking aloud or something when I said Cloak Dagger, and I must have got the names mixed up, obviously. So, I got another e-mizzle from Fake Boy, who spoke unto us as such. He said there's two tracks that he was curious about. The track we started last week's show with, and if I know the track that Duel used from Nerdcore on Radio Freak America, where can I find these tracks? Alright, well, you know, I can only speak for this show, but Bland, I think you probably know about the other one. Let me just say, first of all, you mentioned started the show. Now, we started the show, we pretty much start the show the same every week. We got two themes that we mix and match. We usually play both. It depends on what mood I'm in, what I feel like. But I got two different tracks that I start the show with. One is by Zerl, and the other one is from our good friend Epiphany at Port 7 Alliance. Port7Alliance.com, if you want to go check them out. Good friends of ours. Both of them, however, are up for download on the radio.benrev.com site, and you can click and download the full MP3s of those songs. I hope that's what you meant. Most people ask about the closing music, because I do use different closing music every episode, which I also, you can link to or download from that same page. I always tell you who I close the show out with. It's kind of a good thing for me. I like to listen and learn new music and hear new stuff. And I got another new one to close out tonight that's pretty interesting. But everything that I use on the show, I try to put up on the webpage and the show notes. So you should be able to check that out. It might not always be at the top. Maybe you're just not finding it on the page. But the first time I use it in a show, I put it in the show notes. So I think when I first used Epiphanies was, I don't know, maybe 10 episodes ago or something like that. So scroll down the page. And, of course, Zerl we've been using since day one. We've been using Dedication to the Hackers and Crackers. So that's been on probably on the first or second episode. So you can probably find a link there to download it. And as far as RFA, Bland, do you remember what you guys opened and closed with?
Yeah, we opened with MC Chris. That's Fet's Vet is the name of the song. And you can get that at mcchris.com. And you click listen, and it's like towards the bottom. Pretty only download. Okay. And then we closed the show with Braggadocio by MC Frontalot. That's frontalot.com. Go there, click on listen, and just download everything because it's all rad.
It's one of my personal favorites, and I closed out the last episode of Ben Rev. Which, by the way, welcome to back-to-back episodes. I just should have mentioned that.
Oh, thank you, thank you.
Closed last week's show with MC Frontalot, Nerdcore Hip Hop. One of my favorite tracks. Braggadocio is the other one of my other favorites, but they're all so good. They're all so really good. So, and you have, are there links to that on the show notes or?
No, I don't think so. I think you'll just have to go and get it.
Well, yeah, actually, on the. It is frontalot.com, and there's a link in BenRef show notes from last week. And also on the main page, again, you can link to all the music that we use. So it's the same person that you close with. Now, you opened with MC Chris, you said, which is mcchris.com.
Right.
So they can go check those out. And if anybody has any more they want to recommend to us, by all means, love to hear about them. I got another new one that I'm going to close out with tonight. I don't know if a lot of people have heard this, but I guess we'll find out. And that is it from the E-Mizzle. I guess let's jump into... I had a little incident. I don't know. I was at the mall, near where I work. And we stopped there after work one day, just kind of hanging out, relaxing. And now, I don't... Tell me if this is a freak or not, Bland. You be the judge here. I went in to wash my hands. Went in to wash my hands before getting something to eat in the food court. Nice, clean little hacker that I am. And there's a couple payphones that you pass by going into the restroom. So, immediately I saw them and I'm like, hey, I'm going to take the number off of these, you know, and maybe I can have some fun with it. So, I go on in, I come back out, I was going to write the number down. When I come out, I noticed the payphone was already ringing. And I'm like, wow, that's weird. So I grabbed it. I just picked it up and hung it up real fast. I didn't answer it. I usually answer a payphone when it's ringing. I love it. But I just picked it up and hung it up real fast. And when I walked around the corner, I noticed, I guess because I'm thinking that I would have done that myself locally to have fun. I was thinking someone else did. And I couldn't help but notice a group of kids. I say kids. I should say there was a group of they were teenagers, probably, I don't know, 16, 17, 15, somewhere in that range, over at one of the tables trying to be inconspicuous. And if you've ever seen a 15-year-old trying to be inconspicuous in a mall, it doesn't exactly work.
Yeah.
So they were over there doing pretty much the same thing I thought might be funny to do. So I just kind of smiled and laughed. And I don't know. Is that, are they freaking? Would you say these guys were freaking at the mall or?
It depends. That is freaking. You know, just having fun with phones, you know? And, but, I don't know. It depends on, I mean, what they were doing. Like, if they just wrote the number down at their celly, like, a couple feet away, or, you know, within a visual range.
Right.
And it's just ringing it for everyone that walks by and thinking, oh, you're retarded. And
yeah,
hang up.
That's the impression that I got. It was they were just, you know, were they freaks that were having fun with the concept of it or being clever, or were they just being annoying?
I don't know. I want to say that they were, you know, going to do some good, you know, ring the payphone that you pick up, and that, you know, they do something like, yes, I was wondering, you know, somehow try to social engineer you into dropping a quarter in there or something.
Something.
And then, that would have been kind of cool. But if they were just going to, you know, like, you know, 7 days or something, you know, just something ignorant, then that's not freaking. That's just ignorant.
Well, I really, really wanted, I really wanted to go over there and walk past the table and see if I could shoulder surf their phone number. I thought it would be hilarious if I could call their cell, claiming to be from the phone company, do a little SE on them, you know?
That would have been nice.
Or if I, of course, I've said many times, I am not a big freak. I am not a big phone freak. So if there was some way I could have actually gotten on the payphone itself and had it ring back or star 69 or something, you know, that would have been funny.
Yeah.
or have it. Yeah, I could have social engineered and called and said, yes, we found that this cell phone has been calling through a payphone and your bill is accumulated to $70. Try to freak them out somehow.
That's been nice.
But no, I was nice and let it go. I figured, hey, maybe there are young freaks coming up and I didn't want to, you know, scar them or anything.
Nah, you definitely don't want to discourage that because, man, freaks are a dying breed. Everyone wants to be Mr. Minus Day Hacksaw. And, you know, no one wants to have fun with the payphones anymore, so.
Well, the payphones are definitely a dying breed. But I don't, you know, honestly, I don't know about freaking being a dying breed. I think it's kind of in a renaissance right now. As an outsider looking in, I really see and hear a lot more. I think there's a lot more people crossing into it from the hacker world and from the geek world in general because of the whole voice over IP movement. I really think you're getting a lot of people who are suddenly becoming interested in it because of Vonage and Packet 8 and stuff like that. I think you're starting to get a lot more of a crossover audience, and I think a lot of people are just finding it interesting now that it's become so, you know, we're so much in the digital age and so much new equipment that I think it's kind of having a little bit of a renaissance. I see more people interested in growing more and more every day than I really expected, than I really thought.
Well, that would definitely be a good thing. I hope you're right.
We have Default Radio now. We have another freaking radio show out with Decoder and Lucky 225.
Great show,
you
by
know,
the way.
Yeah, very good. And, you know, it's, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to watch for the next few months. I really do have this feeling that it's kind of in a renaissance period. Maybe it's just me. Anyway, that was my week. And talking to you about, well, MC Frontalot. Frankly, I had heard of MC Frontalot. I had downloaded his stuff before and listened to it, and I liked it. But I never knew that there was actually a name for the genre of music. I just, you know, it was just some old-school hip-hop. Lyrics were kind of cool, had some obscure references in there that not a lot of non-computer geeks would get. So I just thought it was interesting. I liked it. I never really thought that there was this whole genre going on. And you guys mentioned it to me. You guys mentioned it on the show last week, and I mentioned it to you that I had recognized it, but I didn't understand the term nerdcore. So why don't you, you go ahead and take over. Why don't you explain nerdcore? And are you still wearing your Tupac bandana?
I am.
You're still tied down?
Yeah, I found a little bandana in a sock drawer or something. And so I put it on, tied it, you know, with a small knot like Tupac. And so I'm laying here on the couch representing, compiling QT libraries.
So you're buck naked with a Tupac bandana and a Anthony Kiedis sock over your groin. Is that pretty much the picture we want everyone to draw on their head?
Yeah, except for, I will be honest to the loyal listeners, it's more like one of those ankle socks. I got the grower, not a shower.
Ah, so it's not like one of those stockings you hang by the chimney with care kind of Bigfoot stockings.
No, I'm definitely not kicking it like Sasquatch or anything.
Well, hey, take a look at those Vita Guerrera pictures I sent you earlier, and you know.
Yeah, you'll definitely pull out some knee cartilages out of them later.
Anyway, nerdcore, why don't
break nerdcore, it down? Yes. Well, Fiend actually turned me on to it. I'd heard some, you know, like you had, I'd kind of heard some songs, and I was like, wait a minute, this guy's rapping about his stuck caps lock key. This is pretty cool.
Right.
And Fiend was like, well, you know, it's actually called nerdcore. It's basically a bunch of people who sit at their house with their free recording equipment and just really trying to be low-tech, and so being low-tech kind of gives it a real old-school flavor, which I really like.
Mm-hmm.
And but some of it, you know, and that varies. I mean, a lot of it's, you know, fast-paced and really modern and everything else, but and really well put together. But, you know, just for me, you know, kind of like the old-school kind of DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, like, second album, like Nightmare on My Street kind of deal.
Mm.
And, so anyway, he gave me a couple tunes, gave me a couple links, and went and checked it out, and I really dig it. I mean, it's basically rap, like old-school rap, not like, well, you know, new school, I guess. Like,
well, it's mostly old-school.
Yeah, there's some stuff that kind of relates to, like, Nelly or something like that, but most of the time it's just straight rap. There's no, like, hip-hop. No one does any sort of, like, you know, Sprex demo or none of that. I mean, like, a lot of the new rappers do kind of try to make it sort of R&B as well. This is just, like, straight rapping, and they rap about, you know, clock cycles and caps lock keys and spam and just everything, you know? Right.
Yeah, that's my favorite line from any of them is the stealing clock cycles while I try to parse.
Yeah, that's a good line. I swipe clock cycles from sucker MCs as they struggle to parse.
Yeah, see, that's beautiful, man.
Yeah, it's just because it's all these terms that you think about, you know. It's like compiling your libraries, you know. It's cool. I mean, because they rap about this stuff, it's really geek rap, and it's awesome. I think the term nerdcore is really cool because that's what it is. I mean, it's like if Limp Bizkit is rapcore.
Hmm.
If, you know, if Anthrax with Public Enemy, if that's, you know, rapcore, then this is nerdcore. I mean, it's basically, you know, instead of coming from the, what did Kid Rock say? I ain't straight out of Compton, I'm straight out the trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of how it is, you know, it's straight off IRC.
You know, and here's the thing is, that's what first of all, it's lyrical content that defines it.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that it's old school, that's just because it's simple and it lets you emphasize. If you remember the real, real old school where it was just a beat and somebody rapping and that was it. You know, somebody dropped a beatbox, somebody would throw some lyrics, it was on a street corner, it was like just very raw, very, you know, simple and that's nerdcore in general, at least the way I view it, is along the same lines, except the lyrical content is about computing and hacking and, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely.
However, while I was out digging up trying to find some new stuff, and I found, like I said, a great new one to close out the show today that I like a lot, I found, surprisingly, some bands and some music labeling themselves as nerdcore. And that's how I found them, was through searching for nerdcore, through linking from other nerdcore sites. And I found a lot of punk stuff that were labeling themselves as nerdcore. There was a lot of heavy, hard rock. I even found some industrial nerdcore, which I didn't know any of that. You know, I don't know if that really is the same.
I don't know. See, I'm thinking that, you know, I've got some really cool beats that someone gave me, and I'm going to drop that hopefully later this week.
Oh, man, you're not giving them a teaser of the project there, are you?
Oh, well, yeah, I am, actually.
That's a different project than the teaser we gave last week.
Yes, this is just some fat beats that someone gave me, and I'm going to rap about smoking weed with Haitians.
Yeah, that's nerdcore.
But, you know, you throw some references in there. I mean, it's all about... I think it's just the place that you're coming from. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because, I don't know, it's hard to define. Just go and listen to all of it that you can possibly find. Like this one song that Fiend gave me, it was called Mumbo Jumbo by a guy that calls himself the Deaf Author. And, you know, the chorus is like, I think we could all use a little dough. Homer Simpson would probably say dough. An extinct bird is a dough. I eat the cookies, but first I eat the dough. That's just funny, you know?
Yeah.
It's nerdcore.
Yeah, you know, it's really hard to put your finger on it exactly, but you know it when you hear it.
Yeah.
You know, you really feel it, so...
It's like pornography.
You don't know if it's pornography or art, but you can tell when you look at it.
Yeah, but if you can make your tube sock sticky, then it's probably not art. I'll just say that.
I don't know. There's some pretty sticky art out there.
Well, and me, you know, I mean, yeah, we've all got good imaginations around here. We're hackers. That's what we do. We, you know, is our imagination that carries us through.
Well, all right. How about the Paris Hilton video? Is that porn or art?
To me, that was porn that was so good that it's art.
Well, you know. One person who needs a lesson on how to differentiate between porn and art, Somebody might want to take that up with Michael Jackson because he's in deep again.
That's a six.
Yeah, we don't. You know what? We don't even want to go here. It's a Hacky show. Let's bring it back. Let's bring it back to Hacky.
All right.
Even though he's sick.
Let me put the purple dot on my knot here. Like Tupac. All right. We're good. All right, back all to Hacking.
Are we cool? All right.
Yes.
Now, So I guess we gave a teaser of another project. We are really overcommitting ourselves on projects, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know.
This holiday weekend, we're going to do two projects. We're going to start two projects this holiday weekend.
Yep, and we're going to finish the project.
What's that?
We've never dropped a project. That's cool. Anything that we said we're going to do, we've always done it.
Eventually, I still have that one cloud hanging over my head that I haven't released Hack TV yet. But it's because I want it to be done right, and I want it done a certain way, and it just hasn't come out well enough or good enough for me to want to release it yet. So I'm putting that stuff together. But other than that, and actually we've got a teaser. You know, we put something out for that project.
Yeah.
And when the final one comes, I think people will be happy with it. But yes, in general, when we announce a project, it's because it's ready to go.
Well, maybe not ready to go, but ready to begin.
Well, we know. We have a date. We know when we're going to start, and we know we're going to finish it by that weekend. So
yeah,
I don't think there's any harm in announcing that this upcoming holiday weekend. I didn't even mention at the beginning of the show that this is November 25th episode. Episode 21. I don't think I even mentioned any of that at the beginning.
You were busy being all...
I was all G'd. Oh, wait a minute. I got to be G'd out again. I messed up. Yo, yeah, I be dropping this on the 2-5, baby. November 25th, 2-0-3, are we in?
yeah, we're almost to 2K, foe.
Oh, man, I got to stay G'd out for this episode, don't I?
Nah, it's too much effort, man. It's like, you know, sometimes, and this is really scary, sometimes I'll, like, think in lead speak.
Yeah.
Like, I'll see, like, someone's license plate, and it's like, you know, like 470, and I'm like, what's that mean? Is that ATO? What?
Yeah, I know, I feel you.
It's like, it's just numbers.
Yeah. Have you ever bust out an LOL?
No, I've never done that.
Speaking to somebody, LOL, LOL. Oh, man. Yep, we are Uber.
Oh, yeah.
We are Uber. All right. Anyway, so that we're going to be dropping. You sure you want to be associated with that project, though, by the way?
Which one?
You want to put that under a different name? The most recent one.
The one that we just talked about tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Well,
should we change names to protect the innocent?
Screw the innocent.
Or protect the guilty?
Yeah, well, someone mentioned, I can't remember who it was, that when me and you do the show,
right,
we should change it from, Binary Revolution Radio to, Binary Redneck Radio. Because, when you listen to it, it's basically like me and you with our shirts off, sitting on the front porch, drinking beer, watching the bug zapper, you know?
You know what? That's the most ugly visual. Nobody wants to see us with our shirts off.
Dude,
I don't want to see myself with a shirt. I don't even want it's like standing in front of the mirror.
Yeah, I mean, when I walk, I hear corduroy, even when I'm not wearing pants.
Oh, man. Yeah, that one's going to be good. But, you know what? Okay, here we go. Let's do this. Right here, live on the air. Well, pseudo-live. Right on episode 21, we're going to commit that both of... Can we do both of these projects? Or we can at least do the first project.
Yeah.
And have it out before the next episode 22 of Ben Rev Radio. We can do the first project. Now, the second one, I think we can do that too, but you tell me because that's... See, the first one was more of kind of my idea and... I came up with that one, and you came up with the second one, even though we're both working together on it.
Right.
So you tell me how much is it going to be in the second project?
Well, if I can find all I need, and listeners, please help me out, bland@benrev.com. I need a multi-track audio recording software for Linux. Audacity will only do one track. You can't do full duplex recording, which means that you can't have... like a beat playing on one track and record on the second track while you're listening to the first track. It won't do full duplex. So I'm trying to find a full duplexing sound recording program for Linux. And I've found Muse, but Flag 9.1, you know, it doesn't come with all the QT libraries, so I'm trying to compile that. Been compiling that since like 5 minutes before the show started. It's massive.
Yeah, and I think people have got an idea what the project is by now, too, but...
Yeah, well, you know, but I just need to, I don't know, if anyone can help me out, definitely let me know.
All right, well, that being said, and let's jump off the Nerdcore topic, and let's jump into some actual show topics. Is that cool?
Oh, if we got it.
Yeah, we got it. I guess we should. Nobody, you know, people, they don't want to hear about me and you and what we're doing and, you know, our silly projects. They just want, just give them the project when it's done. Quit talking about it. Let's just get it out there and give it to them.
Yeah, we are kind of cock teasers.
Yeah.
Edit that. We are kind of
we can say, hey, that's a chicken. That's a, you know, we can say cock.
Okay, good. Yeah, okay. That's like a male chicken.
Yeah, you know, cock-a-doodle-doo. We can get away with that.
Just don't choke. Well, there. Okay. Well, here's the line, and
only if it's a bad chicken.
Yeah. Only if you tend to eat the chicken must you choke it.
What?
No.
Dude, I am no. No, that did not work at all. Dude, you can eat your own chicken, but.
No. Okay, I'm gonna get a drink. I'm gonna start over. You talk
Dude.
About hacking, and I'll just...
All right, you need to loosen up the bandana.
Yeah, I've just taken it off.
Yeah, I think you cut off the blood supply to your head with that one. Oh, man. All right, let's jump. You know, we talked last week, and actually you guys brought it up on RFA about bluejacking.
Yes.
And I thought that was really cool. Neat little thing. It's not, you know, it's not all that amazing. It's nothing fantastic, but it is kind of a fun little hack, I guess you'd call it, a fun little trick, a little party game, but it's not a big security issue, it's not a big elite hacking thing, but for some reason lately I've been reading a lot of people knocking Bluetooth security and using that as one of the vulnerabilities or one of the problems with Bluetooth security such as it is. But the term that I read about more while researching this was that there's something called snarfing, blue snarfing to be exact, or just snarfing in general. But it sounds like a more severe or a more dangerous vulnerability in Bluetooth to me. But even it is very unusual or very particular in its application, the way I understand it anyway. Snarfing is if you have a Bluetooth-enabled phone. Now, granted, I don't have one, unfortunately, to try some of this and verify a lot of it personally. But Bluetooth allows you to pair up with another Bluetooth-enabled phone so that you can exchange information with people. You can give people contacts out of your address book or pass a business card or what, you know, pass information from one phone to the other. Now, to do this, to pair up with someone, the other person using the phone, I'm pretty sure that you have to actually give that other person a password or permission to access your phone. It's not something that you can just do.
Right.
You know, you have to give them a password. And, you know, do you have a Bluetooth phone? Have you ever heard of this?
No, but Duel and I, when he came down, we played with a lot of Bluetooth. And, you know, I'm gonna take a sidestep here because it's what I do best.
Mm-hmm.
But Duel doesn't pimp himself, and so I just want to give fucking massive shout, or I just want to give massive shout to Duel, and to let everyone know he wrote a script that would do some of this, and it's actually on wardriving.com. I mean, the dude actually put it up under Bluetooth.
Yeah, that's the script that he posted. Is that the same one he posted in the forums, right?
Yeah.
And in the T-Files of Old School Freak.
Right.
Yep.
But, I mean, he submitted to wardriving.com, like, the premier source of wardriving paraphernalia.
Mm-hmm.
That dude put it up, so, I mean, that's pretty
that's very, very cool. I thought it was very cool when I saw the code, too, but and I just wish I had something that I could test it on.
Yeah, now the authentication, from what I understand, now I may be just completely way off, but from what I understand, the authentication for Bluetooth is that all devices hop channels, and they hop channels randomly.
Right.
And you can only link up to another Bluetooth device, naturally, if you're both hopping at the same time. You see what I mean? Because if, you know, if I'm on channel 4, going to channel 3,
mm-hmm.
channel, you know, 6, going to channel 5, we can't link up because we've got to be on the same channel. Just like, you know, FMRS or whatever.
Okay.
So what happens when you link up, you know, you try to establish a connection, you bring the handshake.
Right.
And then the person, you know, the little thing comes up and says, hey, you know, Bob is trying to, Bob wants to establish a connection. Will you allow it? And if you allow it, then you will sync with their device and you will both hop simultaneously to the same channel. And that way you have a connection there.
Okay, with only with that person who has accepted your invitation.
Right.
Right. And no one from outside can interfere with that unless they, too, request an invitation or accept an invitation.
Right.
So, once you have connected with the other person and established a relationship, then do you have access only to what that person gives you access to, or do you have full access to anything on that phone?
I don't know, but I would assume that there's like a shared docs.
Right, type setup.
Yeah, you can...
Possibly by default it automatically shares out all contacts or something like that?
That would not surprise me.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. If anybody knows, send us letters at benrev.com. But I'm pretty sure the way I understand it is that it's a... It may be like that, but for the most part, the default settings are that it gives you a lot of access on that other person's system. And phone or not, it's a system.
Right.
The term snarfing refers to, I guess, getting that access without the other person's knowledge. But I don't quite see how that's possible because, like you said, it has to grant them access or authority. Now, the only other thing is that if somehow you get that access from somebody at any given point in time, that it will remember that in the future. So that you kind of have... It's like putting a backdoor on a computer. Once you've been in and once you've compromised it or once you've got connection one time, if you ever come back to that system, your backdoor is there waiting for you. So let's use you and I for an example. If your Bluetooth phone and mine... We gave each other permission, synced up, and we swapped all of Duel's 1-900 numbers with each other, which would take a long time. But listen, we swapped those numbers. Now, 2 months down the road, I could sneak up behind you at a bus station somewhere, and since we have already established a trust relationship, I would then have access to your phone again. So without your knowledge, I could sync up with your phone and download the rest of whatever you had on that phone, without you watching, without you knowing that I had done it, because the trust was already established and somehow kept or maintained. Now, that is a vulnerability that I have read about, but again, I haven't been able to verify firsthand, but I've heard many people say that that is a possibility.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if truly there's an option to where you can turn off, like, I mean, you can just give all sorts of permissions, expiration dates, or, you know, expiration times, like, only except for this session, surely. Because that's dumb.
Well, yeah, it sounds like it. And again, that's just a back door. That's nothing really new concept-wise to the world of hacking. But the term snarfing that I hear people say, I still haven't had anybody show me or prove to me that you can do a hostile takeover and gain access to someone else's phone without their knowledge, other than what I just described.
Now, however...
Okay.
If the only means of authentication, if the only thing that you accepting a connection does is synchronize your hopping, which may in fact be all that it is. It just allows you to sync up with them, and so you can, then you can trade files back and forth because, you know, you're hopping. It's basically an established connection.
Mm-hmm.
If you could somehow, if I could sit at a bus station while you're sleeping on one of the benches.
Right. Well, hey, you know, I got to get up and go to work the next day. Why bother traveling?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. There's a bathroom as well. Anyway, if I could sit there with my laptop and a USB Bluetooth plug, and if I could monitor your device and figure out a sequence, if you jumped 1, 4, 3, 6, 2, 5, 1, 4, 3, 6, 2, 5, if that was you, if I could monitor that and then establish, you know, if I could somehow set my device to do that, to hop simultaneously, to alter mine to match yours, then you could do that, because if the only authentication is requesting the synchronization, then you could go in there and you just own that thing.
Yeah, but there's got to be more than synchronizing. The synchronizing is just the like establishing the connection, it sounds like. You still wouldn't be authenticated without, well, the authentication protocol, which in this case seems to just be, do you want to allow so-and-so to download your 900 numbers or whatever it is, and yes or no. Even if it's a simple yes or no by the client or by the server, however you want to look at it, there still has to be some kind of handshake to maintain that authentication. I mean, you'd be able to, I guess it'd be kind of like you can see them and you can follow them from channel to channel, but you couldn't really access them.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, because just like with Wi-Fi, you can see and hear and see the traffic and sniff a web encrypted connection. You can see it. You can follow the channels if they want to change channels even. But without that breaking that web encryption, without getting some type of authentication on that network, that's really all you can do is look at it from the outside. You can't get on and authenticate on that network unless there is no password or there is no encryption. You've got to get onto that network and be assigned an IP address, and you can't really do that unless you, you know, are authenticated.
That's true. Man, I don't know. The only thing that I know for sure about Bluetooth is that I need to do a lot more reading.
and that's really the point of why we discuss this, is because I did do some research on this the past week or so, and I really, I'm going to get a Bluetooth phone, but I just can't right now, unfortunately. And once I do, I'll be able to do a lot more research, of course, obviously. But until then, I'm really seeing and hearing more about it. I don't know what it is. Well, I guess I know what it is. It's probably the simple fact that so many cell phone manufacturers have adopted Bluetooth, and it's becoming so popular that, you know, that's why I'm seeing and hearing more of it. I go out and I look and I hear a lot of people talking about hacking Bluetooth, in a very vague term, hacking Bluetooth, whatever that means. But I've seen and heard a lot of people that are experimenting and playing with Bluetooth and bluejacking and blue snarfing and, you know, all this stuff. And it's got to be because there's so many Bluetooth-enabled cell phones that you have that many more targets, you know? Even though, it's not like there's a whole lot you can get off of a cell phone. I mean, it could potentially be some corporate espionage stuff going on. If you can hack some corporate CEO, executive, vice president of whatever competing company, you might be able to get some kind of information off their phone or something. But it doesn't really sound like it's something that's all that dangerous, is it?
I mean, well, the thing that really minimizes the danger of it is proximity. You
true.
Know, the Bluetooth is made for PAN. It's made for personal area network.
Exactly.
So if I was, you know, like if we were at the bus station and you were, you know, laying some cable in one of the stalls,
mm-hmm.
And I sidled up in the stall next to you, you know.
Dude, you're breaking the rule of etiquette. You never go into an adjacent open stall. You have to go to the third stall in that situation.
Well, not if I was trying to hack your Bluetooth device.
Well, true.
So, you know what I mean? I mean, you would have to. It would take some time to do it. I mean, you can't. Surely, not yet, anyway. I haven't read of anything that you can just, you know, brush up next to somebody with a Bluetooth device and just own them. Just get everything they've got. Just download Star, you know?
Right.
There's, I mean, I haven't heard of that yet. And until that happens, until I hear of someone doing that, and they show me how.
I was going to say, it's not only hearing about it. I have to see it to believe it. I have to read about it and see if it's fundamentally sound.
Yeah, and pretty much I'm going to have to do it.
Exactly.
So, I don't know. If, you know, it's all about proximity, honestly. I don't know. What's the range of a Bluetooth device? 10 feet? 20 feet?
It's very short, and that's why the example of at a bus station is a great example. It might be, even line of sight is not even a good explanation because it's not even that far. You have to be in a public place. You have to be in an airport. You have to be in a, you know, in a bar somewhere. I don't know. You can be in a strip club, and if one of the strippers has a Bluetooth-enabled phone, you might be close enough to, you know, get her number, something like that. It has to be very close vicinity, personal proximity with someone. So it would only be in a public place, and I guess it would be awkward. You'd be easily busted if you were to follow someone to stay in proximity.
Yeah.
You know, see, it's not like you can follow someone down the street, or even in a car would probably be too far. I don't know about that. It definitely is something that only can happen in a public forum.
Yeah, that's one thing to wardrobe. It's one thing for me to be sitting in a red light outside your house. You know, downloading everything you've got on your, you know, on your access point.
Or remotely activating their webcam while they're getting it on.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's one thing. But there's no way that I can drive by your house with my Bluetooth phone velcroed to my dashboard and just be downloading all your phone numbers. No way. I'm calling shenanigans on that.
Well, maybe not yet. Somebody's going to put a Pringles can on there.
Yeah.
And make a directional Bluetooth scope.
Just duct tape your Bluetooth phone inside a coffee can, and there you go. You got a Yagi.
There you go. All right. Well, anyway, interesting topic. Lots of Bluetooth stuff going on these days, and I'm researching it. I haven't seen any proof that there's anything vulnerable about Bluetooth yet. I'm going on the record and say that I haven't seen any Bluetooth legitimate vulnerabilities. If anybody has something to prove me wrong or anybody knows more about it, like I said, contact us, lettersofbenrev.com, with some links with some actual proof. Now, I'm not saying that lightly. I've been out for the past couple weeks and doing the research, and I have not seen it. I've seen claims, but I have not seen details of somebody saying this is how it works. Because if I can, even without the phone, if I can read it and say, okay, yes, that makes sense. Yes, that would work. Yes, that would work. You know, if I can go step by step and follow it, then I might give it some credibility. But so far, all I've seen are claims, which, frankly, claims don't mean a lot in the hacking world. So, that's it for our main topic, unless you had something else you wanted to add.
No, that's about, we've exhausted the Bluetooth.
Yeah, but you know, it really is. I think we'll probably be talking about it more on the show in the future as new vulnerabilities or new news things start to come out about it. I don't think we're going to start hearing more and more about it in general. So, for this episode, though, I think that's really all we're going to talk about until we... I got to get a Bluetooth phone, man. I just got to get a Bluetooth phone, but they're not cheap.
No.
They're not cheap right now. By the time my current phone expires, my current service contract, I should say, expires, I haven't decided if I'm going to keep that phone, because I kind of like it. It's a decent phone. I had planned on hoping that when by the time that phone contract expires, that the new generation of phones would come out that have cameras built in, good quality cameras built in, I should say. I have a camera, but it's not the greatest quality. And MP3 player, you know, color screen, which mine has, some PDA-type things in it, which, you know, a lot of them are very basic. I really was hoping that we'd be closer to achieving that. within 1 year, which is what I set my contract up for. Still makes me mad why Japan is, you know, light years ahead of us, and they've got phones that can, you know, scratch your nuts for you with just a thought to the phone.
Yeah, well, they're early adopters, man. They're a culture of early adopters, and that's why I've got to move there.
Yeah, I definitely got to visit. You know what would be cool? If they had a hackers convention in Japan, so we had a reason or an excuse to go over there, you know, and plan for it, and I don't know. I definitely want to visit and check it out, though. There's no doubt about that.
And I got 2 weeks of vacation coming up. Me and you should go to Tokyo.
Well, make sure you save one for, or at least a few of those days for H2K4.
Yeah.
Yet as unnamed H2K4. And like I said, I'm trying DEFCON, and I'm trying Interzone. I hope to hit a lot of cons this year. But we will definitely put Japan on the list. If I run out of vacation time, I'll just get sick.
For 2 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. well, maybe I'll be in a better situation by then, too. But that's totally off topic.
Instantly, just to be off topic as well.
Okay.
I'm hoping to be in a far better situation by about June or July.
Good. Good to hear. Oh, man. The things we have to put up with, you know?
Oh, I hear you.
If it wasn't for these projects, keeping our sanity would just be... Even with these projects, keeping my sanity is kind of rough, but that's a whole other story. I stumbled across... Have you ever heard of a Google search appliance?
I've heard of a prosthetic appliance.
I don't think it's quite the same. I said Google.
Oh, okay.
Apparently, Google has this device that... Frankly, I'm not sure what its application is, to be honest with you. It's basically a rack-mounted server, and it's painted yellow. It's got the Google logo all over it. It's a Google server, rack-mount server, that uses Google's patented PageRank technology. Not that I'm pimping that out or anything, but to power search engines within corporations or within your sites or your locations. But I don't see the application. I don't understand why you would... have this and pay this money for the server, which I don't know the cost. I didn't check that far into it. But Google, you can make Google the search site. You can use the Google technology on your website as a search engine just by, they have free APIs that'll let you do that. And even without that, you can put site colon and put the site name in there and hard, you know, enforce it to search only within your site with their technology. I don't quite see what the point is of buying. I'm sure it's probably pretty expensive.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, that might be... The only thing I can think of that it would be really useful for is that if you have an internal... If you have an intranet...
Oh, that's a good point, yeah.
And you don't want anyone to have access to the outside world...
Right.
It's basically a way of them giving you all the Google code without having to give you the Google code.
I gotcha. Yeah, that does make sense. That absolutely makes sense. That makes sense because you don't want anybody from out on the internet coming in, so you wouldn't have access, or you wouldn't give access out to Google to use that site function.
Right.
Yeah, that, I can see that. Now, I wonder how much that functionality costs and whether it's really worthwhile to use that for... And you don't think of an intranet as being that needy of a powerful search engine, but I guess maybe we're just not exposed to an environment where it's necessary.
Well, think of like...
Because, I mean, there are other search engines that are, you know, there's probably free and open source search engines out there and built into the servers that you use. They probably come with some type of search engine that comes with the package as well. It may not be the best, but is it really worth spending all that money for?
It depends on if, you know, if implementation costs are going to be better than, you know, having to pay John Hacksaw to whip that up for you.
Yeah, I guess it would also depend on how much it costs. So I didn't go that far with it. They wanted you to give contact information so they could probably have a salesman call you, which indicates it's not cheap.
Yeah, no kidding.
So, you know, in reading about this, here I'm gonna put you on the spot here. I was reading some of the case studies for the device. In other words, who uses it, some of the people that actually have it in implementation. And I just saw this interesting little piece of trivia. One of their clients is a .org site, and their claim is that they are the most visited .org organization in the world, the most visited nonprofit organization website in the world. You have any idea who that could be? It's a lot of .orgs out there.
Now, my inclination is to say pussy.org, because I know I hit them a lot.
A lot, huh?
Yeah, let's see, .org, let me say...
Nonprofit organization, you can think, like, even just try to think of that offhand. I think of, like, Red Cross, I think of,
like, Amnesty International.
Yeah, Boy Scouts, are they a .org anymore? I don't know.
I don't know.
No, they may be private, I don't know what they are. Gosh.
Is there, like, a big, like, CatholicChurch.org or something?
I don't know. Well, I'll let you off the hook, and you'll slap your forehead when I tell you. I guess it kind of makes sense. The number one visited .org in the world is PBS, Public Broadcasting Station.
Okay.
PBS.org. And apparently they used the Google appliance and were raving about how great it was for them. But again, I don't know if they're raving about, do they use it for their internet or, you know, their public web page or an internal network, intranet?
I don't know if I want to find out when Keeping Up Appearances is going to come on. You know, I don't know, man.
Yeah. Well, that's I don't know. It's kind of an interesting idea, and I guess it would look cool in your rack, sir, in your server rack. It would kind of look cool mixed in with your Dells and your blue lights and stuff like that. But, yeah, I don't know that it would be worth the money when you can get the same thing for free. I guess that would be my concern. But, hey, if you got some money laying around, you want to throw it at something that would look cool, hey, go for it.
By all means.
Of course, before you do that, order a couple extra copies of Ben Rev Magazine.
Yes, please. Daddy needs a new pair of shoes.
Exactly. Daddy needs a new sock.
Yeah, this one got a hole in it. It's cold outside.
All right, here's another interesting. Last week I talked about the CD shredder and how cool that was. It was like I think it was Time Magazine was in their cool new products or something like that. Well, funny enough, my new issue of Popular Science Magazine came out, and they also had an annual. It's called what they call the best of what's new, which is a similar thing where they go category by category and talk about what the cool technology is. And they break it down by category, like aeronautics and, I don't know, engineering and human genome, what do they call that, biotechnical.
Yeah.
Well, for the computing industry... The number one technology for the computer... Think for over the past year. This is in the past year. The number one computing technology. Now, you see on the show notes what it is, but can you think of anything that would have been better?
I would say DVD recordable.
Yeah, that's...
That's really coming to its own the last year.
Yeah, prices are dropping... I don't know what their criteria is. Is it something that was invented in the past year? Of course, I don't think this was invented in the past year. It just also came mainstream, I think, in the past year. But the winner was 802.11g. Not 802.11b, not normal Wi-Fi, but 802.11g. And the reasoning for it was, well, pretty straightforward. We all know that 802.11b is kind of slow, but it has long distances. It'll reach out quite far, at the thanks of war drivers everywhere. 802.11, on the other hand, goes real fast, but it doesn't have the same range. So 802.11g is that mix where it takes both of those features and puts them together. You can have the range and you can have the high speed. So, and it's backwards compatible. Now you'll need new hardware, you'll need 802.11g devices to take advantage of all the new speed and range, but for example, if you had an 802.11g hub and you still had a couple old computers or your laptop was using an 802.11b card, it would still work backwards compatible at the old 11 megabits per second speed. So that's what they named as the top best of what's new. That was the top thing for computing. Which I get, and it is. It's pretty good. I mean, it really is a good thing, but a lot of people have already invested money into 802.11b.
Yeah.
And even though both of them are fairly cheap and reasonably priced compared to other old-school hardwired networking equipment, I don't know that it's going to be easy enough or cost-effective enough to upgrade already. You know, some companies have still, you know, just within the past 6 months or a year, finally accepted 802.11b. And some of them to this day and in the future still haven't, you know, are going to go 802.11b instead of G. So I don't know how long it's going to take for this to really become more widespread, but I do agree that it is a big one. DVD burners, that's another one. That's another good one. Maybe the blue laser DVDs might be something else to discuss. It might be something that could have been in the running, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't think they mentioned any of those on the list. They had a list of some others, but I don't think those were on there. They had a list of other ones, like I said. One thing on there that did catch my eye is there was only one piece of software on the list, if I remember correctly, and it was called Waste. Waste. Now, if that sounds familiar, the reason why is because back on episode 13 of Binary Revolution Radio, we talked about this piece of software, and it is, according to this is a quote, it is an impenetrable peer-to-peer network for file sharing. That's strong words, impenetrable. How cool is that?
That's a bold statement.
Dude, that is cool, and it also includes instant messages, chatting, group chat, stuff like that, all encrypted. All within this, you know, if you don't remember, go check out episode 13 where we talked about it, or you can go check out their website. There'll be links in the show notes back on episode 13. I'm sure there's a link there, and we'll put them in again this time. But this is one of the greatest pieces of software in the privacy, I don't know, industry, that affects people's privacy and gives people privacy again. It's a huge, huge step for privacy in this country. It really is. You can finally have a way to chat with people, and peer-to-peer file sharing, sure, you can use any or all of these features that it offers. But, you know, even if you just want to chat with someone privately and feel safe, like you don't have your government spying on everything you do, finally you have a way to do that. So Waste is a huge, huge invention, or it's a good thing for people who are concerned with their privacy. So, again, that was episode 13. You can go check that out and give it a shot. I still want to try it. I have the source code and everything. I haven't compiled it and put it together, but I will. I will very soon. Now, this will be our last topic for the day, this one, because this is a big headline. The story isn't all that great, but the headline is huge. And you know what? Do you want to read it? Do you want to read it to the people?
I will, just because I never thought I'd hear this.
Right? Do we need a drum roll?
Yeah, we need to listen. Oh, never mind.
All right, go with it.
Microsoft goes open source.
What?
Let me read that again. Microsoft goes open source.
Wow. Microsoft open source. They have finally seen the light.
Let's not start sucking.
Yeah. Kind of. Like we said, the headline sounds great. The facts of the story are much, much different. Microsoft recently announced that they were giving more than 100 million lines of code to the MVP. MVP meaning their most valuable professionals.
Yeah,
or companies.
That 100 million lines of code, by the way,
yeah,
is the start button.
Yeah, probably. Just the start button alone.
Yeah, that's it.
And a lot of that's comments. Microsoft bashing is so fun. Yeah, it's 100 million lines and 99 million of them are go-tos. go-to start menu. They're MVPs as most valuable professionals, which is companies that they work closely with. So, supposedly, they've released all their code from all their OS, from Windows 2000, Windows XP, Server 2003, and all the service packs, service releases for them. And it's something that they're calling their Shared Source Initiative. Now, A, do we buy this? Do we believe that they're actually doing this, first of all?
No.
You don't think they're giving source code away at all?
Yeah, but it's not, I mean...
Complete?
No, it's not complete. Because they're... You know, call me a player hater, call me whatever you want to, but Windows, man, if you ever, like, set up a sniffer on your network, and you just read all the time, all the amount of traffic that just idly goes from your computer to Redmond, Washington, there's no way, man. There's no way they...
Scary.
This is going to be... Man, that thing's going to be... blacked out like the Warren Commission report, dude. They're going to give you... if it is more or less, you know, complete, as in it will compile, sure.
Right.
Complete as in it's the same XP that's on my box in the bedroom? No.
And that's a good point. I would like to see what the build version is. I would like to see what the build version that they have is. And if it's even, well, and they claim for multiple OSs, though. They're claiming that all the different OSs they've released this code for. Now, I have read before that they released a lot of source code for .NET and some of that architecture, and it's because they wanted developers to have access to a lot of that so they could spark developers into developing for their OS, which further increases their dominance. The more people develop for it, the more users want it so they can use the software that is in turn developed. You know, it's a never-ending loop. Now, releasing the code from all the different operating systems, I agree with you. I think they watered a lot of it down. They took out a bunch of modules. Now, I would love to see the code. I would like to see how smart their programming is. Do you think it's modular enough where they can easily remove the tell everything to Microsoft module and then recompile it and it looks the snacks the same? Do you think it's just a simple plug-in type deal?
Yeah,
and maybe they removed
it? Because you know how the code whores are. All those people, all the slaves down in the code pits.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you just, you know, X34395, because the guy probably doesn't even have a name, he gets this module, you know?
Right.
And then some guy who's really, really trusted, who Bill Gates has cloned himself, you know, like the most trusted guy gets to put all the modules together and make the software run.
And then every time a new operating system is released, that lead programmer person is killed so that no one knows the truth.
Yeah, exactly. He is summarily killed. But in all seriousness, if you give me the source code for XP, I guarantee you that it would be bad. Because if you think about all the vulnerabilities that you can find and that have been found in just XP, and that's running soft ice, that's step debugging, okay? Finding vulnerabilities. But if you give me the code for XP, it's going to be on till the break of dawn.
It's going to take you a lot of break of dawns to go through 100 million lines of code.
Nah, I can parse that taking a crap, dude.
Just grip through it
Yeah, just grip for vulnerability. Yeah, that's my favorite pipe grip. Pipe grip pull.
There you go.
But, you can do it, man. I guarantee you. There would
we
be
can release the DDP operating system.
Yeah, and the other thing I was going to say.
Windows DDP.
Yeah, Windows DDP runs Flux. But if you give me the source code to XP, I'll give you all the functionality about a gig and a half smaller.
Yeah, right.
You know, and you only need like 32 megs of RAM to run it.
Yeah, just take out the go-tos.
Yeah, I'll take out all the go-tos and all the comments, all the help files.
Yeah, take out all this sample AVI, sample embedded stuff.
Yeah, take all that David Bowie, take all that out, and put Fluxbox on it, and yeah, it'll be like 98 second edition.
All that bundled and integrated bonus software.
Yeah, all that crap's got to go. All the plus yep. pack, all the media player. That's
exactly. Get it out.
Yep.
Get it out.
Everything is embedded. All the except for the CD burner.
Yeah.
Keep that.
Well, I still can't help but wonder if. Okay, like the MPAA, for example, we all know that a lot of the movies and stuff that are released out on the internet that get pirated, they come out before the movie ever was released. You know it's an inside job.
Oh, yeah.
How long is it going to take before, if they're releasing this code and it truly is full code that can compile and run, how long before it leaks out from one of these MVP, most valuable professionals?
I hope not long.
Hopefully there's some hacker that's in one of these groups or in one of these most valuable professional companies that can get their hands on it. Now, if it really is 100 million lines of code, I mean, let's take them at face value. Let's say it really is that much. That's going to be a lot of space. I don't know how you spread something like that on the internet easily. It's not like, you know, that's like a hard drive.
Yeah, 100 million lines of code, that's a lot.
Yeah, that could be a lot. Even if it's just plain text, that's a lot of plain text.
That's like 10 gigs, isn't it? Or 100 gigs?
Well, it would depend, of course, on the line. Well, it would depend on a lot of things. It would depend on a lot of things to measure that.
Even instead of 100 million lines, it was 100 million characters.
Yeah, now that you could measure more easily. Suffice it to say, it's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot. And that's a lot of material for this show, I think. I hope. Got a lot of stuff in there today. And it is time to jump into the shout-outs. Now, I already mentioned it earlier, but my shouts this week go to Decoder and Lucky 225. Got to check out Default Radio. I was lucky enough to record an opening for them. Very, very cool show. Very fun show to listen to, which that was the best part, that it was informative and fun. So definitely check out Default Radio. Again, information is in the forums, and we will provide a link from the show notes, but definitely check them out. And Rant Radio in general, you know, Default Radio is not on Rant Radio. They're streaming from their own server right now, and I don't know if they're gonna what their future is, but for me anyway, Rant Radio, I mentioned earlier, they split up into three channels. They're getting more organized. And they give us a place to stream every week, each and every week. So, more often, I probably should thank them and give them shout-outs, but I want to thank Rant Radio for giving us a forum and giving us a place to put this out. We could stream from our own server. I could set up Shoutcast or whatever and set and activate it every whatever day at a certain time and stream it, but Rant Radio makes it so much easier for us and gives us that forum to do it more easily so that we can concentrate on the content of it and basically leech their bandwidth at the same time. So definitely shout out to them. And shout out to you, Bland, two episodes in a row.
Oh, yes, it's good to be here.
You're the voice of Radio Freak America and the voice of Binary Revolution Radio.
Yeah, I'm holding down two jobs.
Yeah. I have to have you on Default Radio, on Blow on This Radio.
Publish me in Frag.
Yeah, and the new projects we talked about.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody else you want to shout out?
Just, again, big ups to Dual Man. Gotta represent the parallel.
Brother of the same color. Oh, yeah, I gotta go back into G mode.
Oh, yeah.
Yup, yeah. So, You want to hit me back, you can hit me on emizzle at letters@benrev.com. And our closing music tonight, dropping it for you, is MC Non-Polynomial, called Algorithm of Love. And I Am Stank Dizzy, dropping it to you, along with
Landon Quizzle-Mizzle.
In Quizzle in the house, and we will see you next week, same Hizak time.
Same Hizak Chizannel. Peace out.
I was walking down the street just thinking about math, and like Dijkstra I was walking by the shortest path. Suddenly I was distracted from my calculator by a girl I had spotted on my heads-up radar. Now I wanted to say hello, but my face had gone bright red. I knew I'd choke and then I'd be a joke, so I turned tail and fled back to my PC instead. I had to find a way to get to ya, so I asked my favorite lecturer. I told him my problem, and he just shrugged and said, "Sonny, you need the algorithm of love." Well, my homies, they're out there shooting their hoops, while I'm stuck here in this infinite loop. My PC's saying does not compute, but damn it, girl, I know that you're cute, cause I've been working it out here on these punch cards, and the way that you pout is making envy hard, so I'm keeping it up, never missing a beat, cause with you by my side, I'll be envy complete. It's my two root two that I'm bounded above, and I'm coming with my algorithm of love. Algorithm of love. My good friend Jimmy, he told me to chill. He said to look at it like I was a climbing a hill. He said, "Don't get caught up by this subtraction, cause you were nothing but a local maximum." I said, "Jimmy, I know how you're feeling, but don't worry, I'm using simulated annealing to keep me headed in the right direction for a guaranteed erection. So you can take your greedy approaches and just give me room to focus. And Jimmy, you know when push comes to shove, I'll be beating you with my algorithm of love." Algorithm of love. I'm gonna breadth first search for it. I'm gonna depth first search for it. I'm gonna visit all your edges in minimum time, if you know what I mean. I'm a nerdcore lover, and under the covers I'm the best you've ever seen. It's by two root two that I'm bounded above, and I'm coming with my algorithm of love. It's by two root two. It's by two root two. It's by two root two, and I'm coming with my algorithm of love. Two algorithm. Two algorithm. 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 Algorithm of love. I'm gonna breadth first search for it. I'm gonna depth first search for it. I'm gonna visit all your edges in minimum time, if you know what I mean. I'm a nerdcore lover, and under the covers I'm the best you've ever seen. Algorithm, 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 algorithm.